I will hear in heaven. Anybody got any ideas who said that? I will give you a clue. It was a musician, and the fact that he said, I will hear in heaven, maybe means that he didn't hear on earth. Anybody got any idea? Yes, I heard it. Who said it over there? Beethoven. It was Beethoven who said, I will hear in heaven. Next one. So this man's wife, as he was sort of on his deathbed, she turned to him and said, do you know who I am? And he said, of course I know who you are. You are my girl and I love you. Aww. Who said that? Okay. An actor, an American actor, did a lot of Western films. John Wayne said that. Yes, indeed. And one more. Let's have one more then. I'm bored with it all. An ex-prime minister in this country. Not Theresa May. Yeah, dead now. Churchill. Churchill said, I'm bored with it all. Okay, thank you, Jez. Now, the last words of Jesus were a command to us. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. And alongside that, he gave us a promise. In Acts 1, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. So what God calls us to, he equips us for. That's good to know, isn't it? I don't consider myself as a gifted evangelist. I have never stood up and given a call for salvation where many people have come forward. And I would say that probably that's the case for most people here and for most people in a lot of churches. But I don't think for one second that when Jesus said, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth and go and make disciples of all nations, that he was just talking to the gifted evangelists. I think those words are for all of us. So we're going to look at how we can apply this to our lives. So in the West, we are a very individualistic society. A lot of it is about me. What can I gain from this? What can I do to get better? What's in it for me? And I don't know if any of you fish, but in the West, when we go fishing, my Andy, I'll use you as an example, he doesn't fish, and he says that it's that men go to fish to escape their nagging wives. Imagine, Andy, for some peace and quiet. Now, the fact that Andy doesn't go and fish, I think actually says more about me. But anyway, aside from that, mostly the image that we have is of someone on their own fishing at the river's edge with their rod and the line. However, in other cultures and in biblical times, fishermen worked together. And they each had their own strengths and they covered each other's weaknesses. This was their livelihood. They weren't interested in catching one or two fish. They needed to catch lots. So when Jesus said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men, which is in Matthew 4, the disciples would have understood this as a team task, not as an individual task. And as I said before, we are a church of life groups, and so the team that I guess most of us will be working in is our life group that we are a part of. And if you're not part of a life group, get connected to a life group. So when you've got your team, when we've got our life group, what happens next? So we've got our team, our life groups in the boat there. What happens next? Well, let's look what Jesus did. When he sent out the 72 in Luke 10, this is what he says. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you." So Jesus said, when they were being sent out two by two, "Look for men and women of peace." And I take that really to mean just people who have a genuine openness to friendship and maybe the gospel. This week in school, I had a 5 minutes conversation with my teaching assistant. We don't often get time to talk. Even though we're in the same classroom, it's very, very busy. But we had 5 minutes when the kids were out of the class. And for some reason, she just started speaking to me and she said, "I'm not sure what I believe about God. And I'm not sure what I believe about church. I've been to church a few times and you go in, you sit down and then you walk out again. But your church is different. Your church, they look out for one another. Your church is like family." Oh, well, thank you. How is it? What makes you say that? Because she's never been to this church. What makes you say that? And she said, "Well, it's obvious." Oh, really? she's seen photos probably. She's heard us talk. She knows that we've been trying to house people. And so all these things have connected together. And she says, "You're like family, one big family." And just saying things like that, I think you are a woman of peace. I will be inviting her along to something or other. But it's interesting because Jesus says in John, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." So it's interesting because I don't go around the classroom or school saying, "Whoa, let me tell you all about my church." Okay, I rarely talk about church in school. But they are picking up things all the time. They're picking up that we love one another. We had an older gentleman come to our house one evening in the summer, and there was a number of people at our house all helping to cook a meal. And he was absolutely amazed. He said, "I don't understand it, because everyone's just getting on and there's no disagreements, there's no arguments, they're all just getting on together." He said, I can't believe it." You see? "You're my disciples if you love one another." So let's look at the people around us in our community. There's a pyramid now, Ches. So the bottom section are people who don't know any Christians. And sadly, this is the biggest section as well. There's a lot of people out there who don't actually know any Christians. Then we've got the open to friendship. If you think of fishing as just a lone individual thing, a person with a rod and a line, then you might be the only person that a friend knows that's a Christian. But when you think team, then your friend can be introduced to other Christians as well. And there's something really attractive about the way that Christians do life together. Paul describes that as the aroma of Christ. We have a couple that started to come to our group socials just before the summertime. And after only one or two occasions, the wife chose to celebrate her actual 40th birthday at our house with the people that she had met when she had come to a social. The aroma of Christ, there's something really attractive about it. another example is that a friend of ours works at one of the eating places in town. He'd been coming to socials and was amazed that we were mixing church friends with others. I don't know how he described the others, but with other people. And he said to me one night, he said, I really like this, what's happening here, that you've got people from different parts coming together, different parts of the community coming together. He said, I want to follow that example. I want my church friends to come and meet some of my biker friends. So all our life group, we went down one night. We had a great night. We went down to where he works, and we had the biker friends, and we all were there, and we had a great time together mixing with them. People who are open to the message is the next section. So some people who are embedded in the friendship circle of the small group then become open to the message. Okay, they become open to Jesus, what Jesus has got to say. They become more interested in coming to church, become more interested in coming to life group, become more interested in coming to an Alpha course or a Start course. The last few years, we've done Alpha courses within our small group. And it's just been amazing to see people that we've started off with just as being open to friendship and see them coming onto Alpha courses and their lives getting changed. The next one up is ready. So there comes a point when people are ready to cross that line of faith, when they are ready to put their trust in Jesus Christ. We have a lovely friend that we met through running. And it was only after that we discovered that she was the mum of someone here who comes to the church. But she'd been coming to our socials, and in one of the last ones she said to me, I'm one of these people, she said, that I'm sitting on the fence. So when Jeff, you got up the other week and said, my book is for those that are sitting on the fence, I immediately thought of her, and she's got one of your books. She knows she can't stay on the fence forever. And I do joke every time I see her. Where are you now? You still on the fence? And I'm just hoping that when she does come off the fence, that she comes down the right way. So, disciple is the last one in the pyramid. We want people not only to make professions of faith. We are looking to make disciples. To see them baptized, to see them getting really rooted into the local church, and to get involved themselves into team fishing. So the idea is that wherever people are at, they move up the pyramid. And for some, it's a quick process. And for others, it's very slow. In fact, they don't really seem to budge much at all. I just contacted a friend this morning that we have been... he's really open to friendship. We've been inviting him to lots of our socials, but that pretty much at the minute seems to be where it's stopping. But like the parable of the sower, we have cast seeds, and we are casting seeds, and so we leave it to God to do the rest. We pray, of course, for them, but God has got it all in his hands. So in Corinthians 3, it says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So we're just called to be obedient and to plant seeds. I'm going to ask Mary, if she'd just come up for a moment. Mary very willingly said yes, just to help me, because Mary is a wonderful person, of course. But Mary, for me, has been moving up this pyramid. And I just thought, rather than me tell her story, I would ask Mary if she could come.
Hello. Okay, before, sorry for my English, because I know it's not
it's amazing. Wonderful.
Yeah, anyway, I want to talk... Okay. I want to talk just 5 minutes about how I met this amazing group. And basically I arrived here in England last year in May, And yeah, I started with a internship in a studio here in England, and it for 5 months it was a moment amazing because I met my colleagues. They were amazing, so fantastic. But after some months, I start to miss a little my family, of course, so my parents, my friends, everything. And I start later in November to work officially here in Kingsland. So with the past of the months, I wanted to meet some people, and because I didn't pass in effect a really nice moment. So I remember exactly the day when I met this group, and it was February, and I remember my friend, that day, it was a Tuesday in particular, and she told me, "Mary, I met my friend who knows a group of the church. If you want, you can go there, because there are a lot of people amazing, and you can meet a lot of people there that can become your friends." So I said, "Okay, yes, of course, of course." And that Tuesday I went to this group, and I met Janet and Andy and other people. So I remember when I arrived, it was the day when we cooked pancakes. So I remember when I arrived and entered in the kitchen, there was Andy with the apron of the Sicily, because I come from Sicily. And I said, "Oh, wow, I feel at home." I said, "Hello, ciao." And Andy, like always, "Hi, Mary, ciao." So it was amazing. Yeah, and I felt a little bit more, relaxed. And so I start to go every Tuesday to this group. And every week I felt I wanted to go there. I wanted to go there to meet all these people. So I met many people there, and they are all my friends. And it's amazing because, now, of course, I don't come back home always, not often. So, there isn't my mom, there isn't my dad, there isn't my boyfriend, there aren't my friends. But it's like if I have my little family here. Basically, it's similar because, there isn't my mother, but there is Janet, there is Andy. So I have my grandmother here, Doreen, English grandmother. So here I have a part of my family. It's basically similar, it's the same. So I don't feel alone. And this is important because in my life I met many people, and many people of these are my friends. But maybe many people probably didn't give me what they give me every day. I talk about the moment, happy moments, but in particular when I pass moments not really good, because I know that there is something that doesn't work, I'm not alone, so I can call Janet or whatever, don't know who wants, because they are here, and I know that they can help me in all way possible, just with a word or with the presence. So for this, thank you very much, because it's amazing, everything, so thank you.
It's been really lovely, it's been a blessing to us to have Mary with us, and Mary did our last Alpha course with us, she was part of our group that did it, and so it's really been lovely to see her progressing, going up the pyramid. So, how do we help people with actually moving up? Let's look at it a little bit more in detail. Hebrews 13 says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." So in verse 1, it says we're to love one another as brothers and sisters. That is, the people here in the church are brothers and sisters. Verse 2, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. That word, the biblical root of the word hospitality is actually philoxenia, which means loving the stranger or foreigner. We're told to love the brothers, but also to love those that are not yet brothers or sisters, to love the stranger, foreigner. How do we do that? Well, in our group, we do Matthew-style parties. So in Luke it says, then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. So we do, sorry, the Philadelphia one is the love of the brothers and the sisters in the church. Philoxenia is the one that means the love of the stranger or foreigner. We like to do parties. We like to celebrate any occasion. We don't wait for anything in particular. We just see what's coming up. Oh yeah, we'll have a party. And we always, always aim to have men and women of peace at it. So in our life group, we never want just our life group. We aim to bring other people in. We have food and fun together, and God works. In the summertime, we had a social, and I was talking to a friend who was at it, and she had come on her own, and her husband hadn't come. He had been out, and she'd left a note to say where she was going to be. But she said to me, he's not interested. Not interested at all. He won't be coming. Well, after a little while, who should turn up but her husband? And he may not have been interested at the beginning or when she first spoke to him, but he has been at virtually every social since that he's been able to make since that evening. And we've had some great times with him as a couple as well. And we've got a social coming up in a couple of weeks, and he was one of the first to reply to say, I'll be there. So, yeah, something happens when we get together. Andy King mentioned today about the food bank meals. Maybe that's something that you could do in your life group. We find that food works for us. For reaching out to our community, but it doesn't always have to be food. It can be anything that common interests that are in the group, so walking, sports, bowling, volunteering at something, or working in a charity shop. Whatever it is, get together, even if it's just a few of you. So I've been talking, we tend to do things as a big group, but actually it can just be a few of you from your group, and invite others in. So you might be thinking, well, that's all very well, but I've got no one really to invite. Maybe you don't know many people sort of who are outside the church, or maybe you work away from King's Lynn and there's nobody, you don't really know people here. Maybe you're not interested. Well, fear not, because we are working as a team. And everyone has a role. So if you don't know friends, it might be that you've got another role to play. We have, the next slide says, amongst us as a group, we have connectors. So these are people that are great at making friends. They are great at building community. Malcolm Gladwell says that most people have a few close friends and family, but connectors often have hundreds of loose connections with people. We've got a few connectors in our group, which is great. They find it quite easy to invite people. Michelle, she's working today, but she's a connector. Pranalini, Remy, they're all connectors. They bring people. They find it quite easy to talk to people. The Samaritan woman in John chapter 4, she was the connector. It says there that then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? The next group that we have are the reasoners. And they are really good at answering questions about the faith. Paul did this in Acts 18. He said every Sabbath he reasoned in the synagogue trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Then we have our servants. They delight in serving. They see a need and they just do it. It's great to have servants amongst you. They don't need to necessarily be asked. They just see it and get on and do it. And I'm always thankful for them in our group. Hannah Fisher, she's not here this morning either, but she has, the last few pizza parties that we've done, she has been there cutting pizzas, sometimes maybe upwards of about 100 a night. And she just spends the evening cutting up, slicing up pizzas. And I'm very thankful for that. She does a great job. In Acts 9, it says, there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. So then we have our storytellers. And these are people that share stories about how God has worked in their lives. No one can deny a personal story because it's powerful. And you might think your story is quite ordinary, but actually, ordinary stories reach out to ordinary people. And that's why, Mary, I was really thankful to you for just sharing your story, because it touches people. Jackson, you are a storyteller. When you tell your story of, well, your story of what God's doing in your life, what God's done in your life, I'm just, I'm blown away, touched every time, really impacted by it. You have got that gift. You're a storyteller. In John 9, the blind man was a bit of a storyteller. The people said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he answered them, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." He told his story of Jesus and what Jesus had done for him. Harvesters then. So these people are great at helping people cross that line of faith. Peter, in the day of Pentecost, in Acts 2, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And then we have power. The people that really love and are wired to use spiritual gifts, they love to do it. They love to prophesy. They use words of knowledge. They pray for healing. So, for example, again, in Acts 3, where Peter heals the lame beggar. I think, Rebecca, in our group, you're a prime example of a woman of power. In that sense. So when we go through all of those, you might see yourself as one of those things. You might see yourself in a few of those giftings. The reason I like to work, to have my team as my life group, is that when we all come together, pretty much we cover all of those giftings. And so it works really, really well. I'm passionate about seeing people drawn in. You know, I want to see more and more people being in the community, being touched and, you know, being drawn in, becoming part of the church, having their lives transformed and changed. It's been a real joy to have people like Mary in our group that we've just been able to see that happen with. Remy, I'm going to ask you if you would just come up and share your story as well. And then we're going to close.
Good morning, everyone. I have already shared my story here before, but I would like to share how I came to the life group. We came as overseas nurses here, so it was difficult for us to, you know, go out and meet people. But I always found one of my friends, she's Pranalini, you all know her. She always, you know, she had time to go and go to the church, go to the life group, and you know, she she had the time for that. She always put God first. So, and it was like, for me, it never happened. And one Tuesday when I was sitting there, and I thought, like, after coming to the, it was after coming to the church for the first time, I thought, okay, I thought I'm not going to the life group because I have to study. But when I was sitting in the room, I was like, I know that I'm not going to study now. It's better I go and, you know, see what exactly life group is. Then it was the last moment. I told, she got ready and she was ready for Chrissy to pick her up. And I was like, shall I come and join you and see what life group is all about? So she was like, are you sure you want to come? I said, yeah, I would like to see what it is. I got ready within minutes, and I took my Bible, and I was, and she was like, why you're carrying your Bible? I said, life group is about a prayer meeting, isn't it? So she was like, no, it's not a prayer meeting, actually. Like, you know, you don't have to carry your Bible. It's like a discussion. You will know when you come there. When I reached there, as always, Janet was there with a welcomed warm hug. She is always, you know, charming, and I always loved that. And it was a great experience. I happened to watch the Alpha course. It was not the first part of it, I think. I was somewhere in the middle, and I had lots of doubts, lots of questions about the Alpha course, and I kept questioning Andy, and he was like, come on, ask me more questions, Amy. And I was like, I have more questions, and I will come with more questions to the next life group. But that week, I told Auntie, and I was like, I was searching for questions, and I was like, no, the God started speaking to me. Jesus, he started speaking to me through his verses. Whenever I opened the Bible, I used to get, you know, what question I had in my mind, all those questions were answered through the verses of God. And I was like, yeah, it's all answered. And the next week when I went, Janet was like, where's your questions? And I was like, I don't have any questions anymore because all have been answered by him. Now I don't have any more questions. But the biggest question I had was, is it necessary to get baptized? So even that was answered by him. One of my colleagues, she invited me to go for a convention, which is from, it's an Indian kind of thing. So I tried to escape from that. I told her excuses, but she was like, no, there's no problem. You can come, you have to come with us. And I went there, and the pastor who preached there, he was from my place where I came from. And he answered me through his, you know, his words. He preached the same thing, what baptism is all about. And all my, what is that, doubt, everything was like gone. And I was like, yes, I have to get baptized. And the biggest wall in front of me was my husband and my family, because I come from a traditional church, and it's difficult to come out from that. And the first time I asked my husband, he was like, it's a big no, you are not going to do that anymore. I mean, you can't do that. You go to church, you go to life group, but no baptism, don't talk to me about that. And I still remember when I talked here first, I asked you all to pray for that, you know, to change his mind. And when he came here, and he happened to meet the people in the church, he went to the life group, and now what he says is, you are not going to the life group anymore. You sit here and watch kids. I am going to the life group. I'm happy that, you know, he is enjoying it. And when we were having a chat, I asked him, you know, and I thought like he will say no again. But to my surprise, he said, as you wish, baby, it's up to you if you want to get baptized. It's up to you. I won't stop you from that. And yesterday I asked him, when should I get baptized? He's like, whenever you feel like. So, and I asked him, when are you getting baptized? I thought he will say, no, I'm not getting baptized. But he said, whenever I feel like. So I can see that there's a change in his heart as well. Like, you know, God is working on him as well. So it's all, you know, Yeah. And one more thing. It's a testimony. I wanted to say this in the beginning. When I was in the hospital 2 days ago, I had a patient. I have been looking after him for 2-3 days, and the doctors were saying that, you know, he was having some malignancy. They were in a doubt. And his wife, she broke up, and she was like, she came and she told me, like, this is what they're saying, and she cried, and I was like, I don't know what to tell you, but all I can do is pray. So on my way back home, I just kept praying that he's a good man, as far as I know, like, you know, in the hospital. So he was like, I prayed that, God, don't do that to him. I mean, it's not fair. It's not fair from your part. And yesterday when I went, I met his wife again, and she was not in that sadness anymore. And I asked him what happened. So she was like, now the doctors are saying that it can be an infection, not a malignancy. And I was like, I did pray for you. And she was like, I believe your prayer, and I'm happy to come to your church, you know. And she was like, I will meet you on Monday, and we'll talk more about it. So I'm happy.
Amazing. What a wonderful testimony to end with. Fantastic. And what's really nice there is that, you know, Remy is just, she's just sort of summed up what I've just been speaking about. How, you know, lots of people have been involved in your journey. And now, you know, you're at the point of sort of getting baptized. She's really in the church. She wants to be baptized. Her husband said yes yesterday, which we're thrilled about. And now she's doing the team fishing as well. So drawing people in, and it's just lovely, and that's what we want to see more and more within the church.
Yeah, so we'd love, we want to see dozens more stories like that, don't we? I want to see dozens, hundreds more like Remy coming through in that way. And so let me just pray. Father God, help us in our small groups to Fish's team. Lord, help us to work together and fish using our, each one of us using our gifts and skills, so that we can see your kingdom come more and more in this place. We want to see many, many, many more people coming to Christ. We thank you so much for stories of people coming to faith through friendship. And Lord, I pray that you'd anoint and equip each group in the church to do it their way. Lord God, whether it's walking or sports or food parties, whatever it is, but Lord, that we'd be working on making friendships and seeing people that are men and women of peace, that have got kind of low-hanging fruit, that are interested in you, Lord God. I pray, guide us to them, Lord, and help those that are servants to serve well. Help those that are connectors to be connecting with the men and women of peace. Help those that are storytellers to tell their stories in a way that will help people to be interested in you, Jesus. Help those that have got the power gifts to give them words and knowledge and gifts of healing and everything that they need to see people come through. Give those that are harvesters, Lord, I pray, that skill even more to talk about you, Jesus, and ask for commitment in your name, Lord God. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing to finish. So, Greg, if you could come and help us, that'd be great. Okay, let's stand.